Hi everyone, my name's Dan, and on behalf of the staff of Christadelphians, welcome to this podcast. Over this four-part series, we're going to be looking at forgiveness as it's taught in the Bible. We've got four questions about forgiveness to cover in this series, one for each week. The questions we're going to look at are, why would I want God's forgiveness? Is what I've done too bad to be forgiven? Why would God want to forgive me? And finally, how do I obtain forgiveness from God?
So here we are again. Last week we looked at why we might want God's forgiveness, and this week we're going to look at the question, is what I've done too bad to be forgiven? The answer is almost certainly not. Although just as a disclaimer, Jesus does state in Matthew 12 verse 31, therefore I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven people, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. So the only thing that will not be forgiven is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But what is that? Before you begin to worry, it's important to look at this saying in context. Look at why Jesus says it and the circumstances that surround it. Jesus had just healed a man, and the Pharisees had attributed this power to an evil force. They had said that God's own power was evil, the power that was used to create them. This one verse, where Jesus says that blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, is just a tiny section at the end of Jesus' reply to the Pharisees. So instead of focusing on the minority, let's focus on the majority. Let's look at all the things that God has forgiven, the things that he's set on record as having been forgiven, and he's set them on record for us, so that when we go wrong, no matter how badly, we can know that God will forgive, because he's been forgiven before. We're going to have a look at a couple of men in the Bible who did terrible things, really terrible things, but they were forgiven by God. There would have been people in these men's lives who would have been unable to forgive them for the things that they'd done. But God did forgive them, and he is the most important one. Firstly then, let's look at one you may or may not be familiar with, King David. We looked at one of King David's Psalms last week. David was a king in ancient Israel. He was generally a good king and a good man. In fact, he was referred to by God as a man after God's own heart. But like all of us, David made mistakes in his life. He made some pretty big mistakes. He did things wrong, and he sinned. Perhaps the most famous or infamous incident in David's life was with Bathsheba. Bathsheba was a beautiful woman. She was married to one of David's closest friends, a man who had followed David since before he was king, who had always been by his side. This man, Uriah, was away fighting a war for David. And while Uriah was away, in a moment of weakness for both of them, David slept with Bathsheba and got her pregnant. To cover this up, he first arranged to have Uriah come home from the war. He got his friend very drunk and tried to convince him to go home and sleep with his wife, so that David's own sin could be covered up. And this is such a temptation, isn't it, to try and cover up what we've done wrong. Uriah, however, was too honourable a man for this, and he felt awful that while his fellow soldiers were away fighting, sleeping on the rough ground, he would be sleeping in his own comfy bed. So he didn't go home. David's plan has failed. David's next step was far more drastic. He sent Uriah back to the war, carrying a note to the commander asking that Uriah be put in the thick of the fighting, effectively guaranteeing his death. Let's just pause here a minute then and consider the things that David has done. He has slept with another man's wife. He has betrayed his friend. He's then lied to and tried to deceive his friend even further. And finally, even if his was not the hand that held the sword, he plotted the murder of one of his closest friends. Now, by the letter of the law, David should have died for these things. But God forgives him. Why? It's because God can see into David's heart, and he can see how truly sorry David is. He can see all the anguish that this is causing David. He knows how badly David wants God's forgiveness, and not just forgiveness, but to have the strength not to make the same mistakes again. And all this isn't to say that David went unpunished for this sin, because he did have some pretty hefty punishments, but the ultimate punishment, that he should have died, was not given to him. Psalm 51, again a psalm written by David, illustrates perfectly how much anguish this sin had caused David. Look at verses 2 and 3. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. This isn't something that David had just done and forgotten about, or managed to just put behind him and try not to think about. It was something that was always in the front of his mind. He felt so awful. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then verses 16 and 17. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it you. You will not be pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The whole psalm carries the same sentiment, but these are just a few of my favourites. The last one, verses 16 and 17, are most of all. It shows us what God wants from us when we do wrong. He doesn't want us to make huge, elaborate sacrifices or gestures or promises. He doesn't want us to pay penance. What he wants is for us to be really and truly sorry. He wants us to recognise our sins and be sorry for them. And moving on to another man that God forgave. It was another king of Israel, or in fact a king of Judah, King Manasseh. You can read about Manasseh in 2 Kings 21 and 2 Chronicles 33. It was said of this man that he shed so much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. And yet God forgave him. Why did God forgive him? Because when he was in distress, he entreated the favour of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. So despite these terrible, terrible things that he had done, God was able to forgive him because he humbled himself. He recognised that he was in the wrong, that he had done absolutely terrible things. It took Manasseh being taken captive by a foreign power and imprisoned for him to realise this and to humble himself. And it's the same for us, isn't it? Sometimes it takes periods of real hardship for us to turn to God and to ask for his forgiveness. But when we do that, when we humble ourselves and we come to him, God's forgiveness is always there for us.
Well, that's all for this week's podcast. We really hope that you found it helpful. If you'd like any more information on the things that we've discussed today, or on the Christadelphians in general, please feel free to contact us. You can do this via our Facebook group, Stafford Christadelphians, or visit our website, staffordchristadelphians.org.uk. Finally, I just want to say God bless you all, and may he comfort you always. Goodbye.